Wake up, America!
Wake up, America. It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. I'm your host, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and this is the Late Night Feisty Liberty Show. We have a rotating stable of interesting insomniac co-hosts. Plus, we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in. Wake up, America.
Wake up, America.
Wake up, America.
Yeah. Wake up, you sleepy sheep. This is Michael Dean, also known as the Iron Hamster. And we're over there laughing. We got Diana.
Got me going already.
Diana Kyler. Yeah, I'm just going to try to make you. There's a new goal of all the Freedom Fiends co-hosts is just make Diana laugh as much as possible. I think Lou.
Sounds so easy.
Lou came up with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need a nickname for you. If I'm the Iron Hamster, what are you?
The Laughing Kitty.
Cool. Yeah, I'm a window open. It's really windy out, so you might hear. Well, I think all the crickets blew away from the Wyoming wind.
Oh my gosh.
There's a meme that goes around. It's like a Wyoming wind sock, and it's a picture of like a logging chain. And different delineations for different wind speeds. You know, normal is like at a 30-degree angle or something.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's the windiest state.
Yeah, so you had a tornado recently.
I didn't have one, but there was one about 2-3 miles, probably 4 miles from here. We could have seen it from our house, except there's houses and trees in the way. So it was up on Casper Mountain.
Wow!
I saw a picture of it. It was pretty cool. The weather was really weird and crazy that day. And 2 days later, we got a lightning strike in the backyard.
Oh my God.
You didn't hear about that?
No.
Yeah, lightning struck a tree in our backyard about 25 feet from where we were sitting in the house while we were here.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it was scary.
Were your kitties okay?
Kitties were okay. Fortunately, Charlie was not in the backyard. She wouldn't have been out there because it was kind of raining, but it was almost not raining. It had stopped or was intermittent, and she does go out there sometimes. She insists on going out in the enclosed backyard even when it's raining, and you know, I'll let her out and she'll come back in like 2 minutes. I'm really glad she wasn't out there. I don't know that the lightning would have harmed her, but the tree seems to be okay. We're hoping it doesn't die, but the bark on it sort of exploded. There was a stripe of bark about 6 inches wide and about 30 feet long. There's a big scar on the tree. I'll show you a picture.
Wow.
Of it. Yeah. And it like, I mean, we heard the lightning strike and we saw the flash even with the curtains closed. We were watching a movie. The screen on the computer went dark for a minute and then came back on. We did not lose power, but we heard the wood hitting the house. I mean, it sounded like someone hitting the house with a baseball bat. It was really violent.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's trippy.
Yeah. It that kind of stuff makes me think a lot. I mean, I don't think we were close to death, but it makes me think of the immediacy of things and how quickly situations can change. And that's why I want to talk about the possibility of someday open sourcing the Freedom Fiends.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, you sent me a picture tonight. It's of a V for Vendetta Guy Fawkes mask hanging on your mic stand, the mic that you use for the show. I really like that picture. I'm going to use that for the show. You know, I do want to say that if I'm ever killed by the government or, you know, die in any mysterious circumstances, all of you fiends that are doing the show now, fiends past and present, you guys, and probably Nima if he ever wants to, are welcome to take up the banner and keep doing it.
I'll proudly carry that banner
in
your legacy.
Yeah. Although if, you know, please don't anyone murder me to get my show. It's not worth it.
Okay.
You won't do that.
No.
Yeah. I joked the other day about the possibility of like open sourcing it to the public at some point, but I don't know if I'm ready to do that. For one thing, it would make it really confusing for advertisers, and I'm trying to make money at this and barely making any, but, you know, I'd like to be able to pay y'all at some point, but
I'm so far from that right now that if I added, if there were five other competing or five other shows called The Freedom Fiends, it would make it really hard for me to approach advertisers and say, no, this is the original.
Yeah, that's true. So explain more how that would work.
Well, I think one of my goals is in life is to make myself replaceable, is to basically train people to do things I know how to do and then pass the torch. I got an email tonight from Garrett Fox who said, just had a 2-hour long conversation via Skype with Diana, and I think we'll have a really great show at Porkfest without you. Yeah. Yeah. Two of the shows at Porkfest, Freedom Fiends from there, are going to be without me. One, and they're both going to be with you. One is with Garrett and one is with Lou. But the one with Lou, you're going to be in Montreal, right?
Yes. Broadcasting live from Montreal.
Second time you've done that.
Well, the first time was from Toronto.
Yeah. Okay. You're just international. What are you doing in Montreal?
Pretty much. going to hang out because I've never been there before. And I'm going to meet Christian's parents.
Oh, that sounds serious.
Yeah.
So. Taking in mind that you don't speak French, or do you speak French?
Yeah, not very well. I know a few key phrases probably, but actual conversation, that's not going to work out so well. His dad can speak some English, but his mom can't. So it should be interesting.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be probably a lot of like sign language kind of stuff. I don't know.
Do you ever watch Louis C.K.
Yeah,
show?
Yeah, love that.
Did
love
you see
that
the one
show
this week? I mean, there's this like 5-part called The Elevator.
Oh, yeah. I saw 3 of those.
Where he's dating a Hungarian girl that speaks zero English. Like,
right.
She can't even say yes or no. Yeah.
Pretty much what it'll be like.
You know who's playing the mother in that, right?
Yeah.
It's Ellen Burstyn.
And she died.
No, she didn't.
Oh, I thought, which one died? It was one of those older ladies that do acting stuff that died.
older ladies that do acting stuff. No, she's still alive. She was in Requiem for a Dream, too.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, was a crazy movie.
You know what else she was in that not a lot of people remember? She was the mother in The Exorcist.
That's right, she was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, she was young doing that acting stuff then.
Yeah, she was 32, 40, 50, 60, 72. No, she was 41 in The Exorcist, but mm-hmm. She's 81 now.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, she still looks really good.
Yep. She's in my movie, Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow.
Say what?
She's in a movie I directed.
Seriously?
Yeah, we interviewed her about being in. Hubert Selby is the guy who wrote the book Requiem for a Dream that the movie's based on.
Mm-hmm.
And we interviewed her and Jared Leto and the director of that film and a bunch of other people. It's a pretty cool movie.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
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 You're fitty.
I'm fitty. Yeah.
Did you have a good birthday?
What's that?
Did you have a good birthday?
I did have a good birthday, although I was nearly killed by a lightning strike.
Right, that's true. That's pretty exciting. That's a memorable birthday right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you were turning fitty.
Ooh, I was turning fitty.
What does that say?
I don't know, man. I mean, it seemed kind of almost ironic to me because I lived a life, you know, between like 20 and 30, I lived a, hey, live fast, die young, leave a bloated corpse with a needle in the arm kind of life. And
not a good looking corpse.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of surprising to me that I made it to 30 and I got off drugs like right after my 30th birthday and I'm coming up on 20 years sober. Mm-hmm. And it would be like comically ironic for me to make it to 50 and be killed by lightning that same day.
Yeah.
So I guess the whole thing is all of this kind of, I was thinking a lot about mortality anyway, and the just freak accident of a lightning strike the same day, like 25 mm-hmm. feet away from where we're sitting, really made me think a lot about it. Do you think a lot about that?
I do. And I've actually had a few close calls myself.
Oh, tell me about them.
Yeah, well, I've almost drowned twice.
Ugh, that's not fun.
Yeah, one time was when I fell out of a raft, whitewater rafting, and the other time was I got caught in a whirlpool in a river, and I couldn't get out. So that was pretty scary. Wow. Yeah. And the other time was, it's been a few times. I wouldn't say I was necessarily close to death, but I was in a really bad hurricane. And a tree, I was living in one of those duplex type houses, and a tree fell on the other side of my house, the my neighbor's house, like the neighbor's part of the duplex. So, yeah, that was.
Was your neighbor home?
Yeah, they were home, but they slept through it.
Were
it was so weird. I was wide awake. There was no sleeping for me that night at all. And when we saw that, you know, the tree had fallen over there, we went and we were banging on the door, and it took them forever to wake up. And when they finally realized, they woke up, they had a tree in their living room. I'm like, how does somebody sleep through that? I don't understand. But or something, I don't know. But anyway, so they ended up. Yeah, we brought them over to our house, and they slept like on the floor in the living room and stuff. So it was weird.
Wow.
It was very scary. But you were talking about light. Probably twice I've had lightning strike near me while I'm driving down the road. I've seen a lightning strike a tree right next to my car.
How far away?
Oh, probably same distance as your lightning strike, like 20 feet.
Yeah. Did you feel it in the
freaky.
Car?
Freaky. I mean, I don't remember what – I just remember like a huge just bright light and looking, you know, seeing out of the corner of my eye the tree just basically explode.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So
something's after me. I don't know what.
So tell me a little bit about your thoughts on mortality.
Mortality in terms of that we die someday
Well, because, you know, young people live – not really aware of that. I mean, even if they have death in their life, generally when you're young, you kind of have this unspoken belief, I think, that it'll never happen to you. I mean, I guess people who deal with the tragic death of a loved one in front of them probably have more of a realization of it. But young people seem to, when I was young, I didn't really think about life ever ending. And let's talk more when we get back from this trip to the market.
Okie doke.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and yes, we're broadcasting this message into space.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
And we're talking about mortality. That kind of worked with that music.
Yeah, it did.
My band, Bomb. So we're talking before the break about death, and we're cheery. We're hopeful. We're happy, and we're talking about death.
Yay, death. Yay.
I had an experience. I wouldn't call it I don't know if it was a near death experience or not, but I was in a car in about 2002 with this woman in LA that I didn't really know very well. She was an intern on a film project I was doing, and she was driving her car. We were near Burbank on the 5, and we were hit really lightly on the back left bumper of the car while going about 55 miles an hour, 60 miles an hour. And it sent us into a spin. And we went into a spin across 4 lanes of traffic.
Oh, my God.
And spun 2.5 times and barely missed getting hit by a bunch of cars. We didn't get, other than the one that tapped us accidentally, I hope accidentally, into the spin. We didn't hit any other cars, but we came really close. And there was a lot of screeching and honking. And we ended up, you know, on the other side of the 4-lane, you know, 8-lane highway, on the four lanes away, facing the opposite direction, stopped on this side of the road. And my life did not flash before my eyes. But here's what happened. I had, you know, in the space of a second or two, I had some very conscious thoughts that were, they seemed odd to me at the time and they seemed odd to me later because they were in the form of complete sentences in my voice, in my head. And it was two sentences. One was, or it was three sentences. It was, I may end up dead or I may end up in the hospital for a very long time and I accept that.
Hmm.
That was the first two sentences, period, and I accept that. And the third sentence was, do not grab the wheel. Because I had an impulse. I was sitting next to her in the passenger seat. I had an impulse to grab the wheel. And try to correct the situation.
Yeah.
And I said to myself out loud in a complete sentence in my head, do not grab the wheel. And if I'd grabbed the wheel, we might have been dead or in the hospital for a long time. Because, you know, we just barely scraped through this labyrinth of fast-moving cars and ended up stationary facing the opposite direction on the other side of the road. And do not grab the wheel kind of became a mantra for me afterwards don't try to control situations that I shouldn't try to control.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like the serenity prayer.
I was very deep in the serenity prayer because I was going to a lot of meetings at the time and it seemed like proof of the serenity prayer to me.
Yeah.
That's
pretty amazing.
There's a form of the serenity prayer that's in Al-Anon that I like a lot. And I don't even think it's in the literature. I think it's just something people say at meetings. It's, don't just do something, stand there.
Right.
Which is not saying, you know, live a life of inaction, but it's saying you don't need to try to control every situation, especially with other people that are spinning out of control.
Right.
spinning out of control through the fast moving traffic of life.
Yeah. And that's probably where the wisdom to know the difference comes in. It's like, you know, what situations can I, you know, not control, but at least manage to a degree, and what ones can't I, you know, what ones do I need to leave alone? And that takes discernment, you know? Those are things that I think you kind of have to learn over the course of life.
I like the serenity prayer a lot. And, you know, I think it could even work for atheists. You just take out the God, just grant me the serenity, you know, grant it to yourself. It actually predates AA. It's best known for being used in 12-step programs, but it's an untitled prayer authored by the American theologian Reinhold Niebuhr, N-I-E-B-U-H-R.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of him.
I don't know if that's how you pronounce that, but
yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, and there's more to it than what you actually hear.
Yeah.
There's like a couple of other verses. I don't remember what they are, but.
Yeah. Let's see. God grant me the serenity, accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to the original is, and the wisdom to distinguish one from the other. And the rest goes, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make things right, surrender your will, blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah,
blah. All right, we'll be back.
Amen.
Okay, after this, we'll seize the rein, we'll seize the wheel again and take back control after this.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Life is getting better. This is Mr. Michael Dean. I'm fitty.
You're fitty.
I'm fitty, and I'm happier than I've ever been. I'm definitely more content than I've ever been, but not resting on my laurels and not boring. You know, I wrote this book called A User's Manual for the Human Experience, which you can buy on Amazon as a paperback, or you can get the free audiobook or PDF ebook on the Fiends Torrent link, which you should be torrenting if you want to help keep us drone-proof into perpetuity. And
I'm torrenting.
Yay! And perpetuity is the topic tonight, and eternity and mortality, and how they play against and with each other. You can get the ebooks also on michaelwdean.com on the link that says Michael's Stuff at the top.
Mm-hmm. But you should buy it.
You should buy it. But there's a chapter in there. The last chapter in that book is called Letter to a Young Me. And it's me at, when did I write that book? Probably 46, writing a letter to me at 19. And then there's a small section in it that's me at like 70 in the future, writing back to me at 46 when I wrote it. It's a pretty cool chapter. I recommend it. Even if you don't read the whole book, go check out that chapter. Because it's, you know, I've thought a lot throughout my life about kind of reaching through time to the past and the future of my life and of time in general. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about the Mad Men episode that played last week. And this is not a spoiler alert. It centers around them watching the moonwalk, the first moonwalk in 1969, yeah. which was a really, you know, formative moment in my life. I was 5 years old, watched it with my dad. We were both fascinated by it. It was, you know, not to say anything bad about my dad. I don't really want to say it was the last good moment with my dad, but it was a really good moment with my dad. I haven't had a lot of those in my life. I've kind of had to, you know, my parents divorced when I was 8. He remarried to a woman who did not want him talking to me. And he was kind of a puss and, you know, let her tell him not to talk to me. So he wasn't really in my life much until she died like 5 years ago. And he's, you know, sort of, we've made an effort to be back in each other's life and we're, you know, nice to each other now. But that moment, I mean, that memory is really deep to me, you know, that moment with watching that with him. What do you remember about it?
I remember I was actually living in Okinawa at the time.
Are you a military brat?
Yep, Air Force. And, you know, you know, as a kind of aside, it's very rare to meet people who haven't had some connection to the military, which I find fascinating.
I do now because DJ's son is in the Army, but, until then I've had no connection in my life to it. And my sisters were really anti-war, when I was a kid, and that really influenced me because it made sense, like even whether they were or not. And that's been the only consistent belief I've had my whole life is being anti-war. Mm-hmm. I'm not anti-self-defense, but I'm anti pretty much most of what the U.S. does and most of what most countries do.
Aggression.
Yeah. So, the Air Force had a lot to do with the moon landing. And I think most of the astronauts were Air Force pilots, weren't mm-hmm. they?
Yeah, I think they were.
Was there a lot of like, we did this kind of feeling?
Yeah. I mean, I remember having grown up as, you know, an Air Force brat, that there was definitely a lot of pride, you know, and being a part of the Air Force. Because that was, you know, the Air Force was the branch of the military that essentially,
where the smart people go.
It kept us safe from the commies.
It's
basically
where the smart people go too. It's, you know, not to praise the military or praise any part of it or condemn any part of it, but in general, people in the Air Force aren't they smarter than people in the other three branches?
I think that's what they like to think, and it may very well be true. I mean, it's definitely you see a lot. I think probably a lot more, PhD level scientists.
Yeah, they're the government scientists that build the drones that spy on us and supposedly keep us safe. Yeah.
We were living in Okinawa, and we actually watched the moon landing on and on the Mad Men episode. Everybody's watching it, of course, on basically black and white TV. And that's what we had. We had a little like 13-inch Sony black and white television that we were watching the moon landing on. And that's what I remember. I remember doing that with my dad. I don't remember my mom actually participating in that. It was me and my dad. And after that, he bought a telescope and we started like, you know, doing the telescope thing at night, looking at the moon. And yeah,
we did too. Cool. Yeah, yeah, I got one too. I think a lot of telescopes were probably sold that year.
Yeah.
But do you remember a feeling of everybody in the world is watching, is doing the same thing I'm doing right now?
I wasn't even four yet. So I don't really remember necessarily having that feeling. I do remember my dad making a big deal about it. So I figured that since he was making such a big deal about it, it must be really important.
Yeah, so. I guess that's where I got it from too, is from the adults. But I was in kindergarten and, you know, they talked about it before and after in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. As it wasn't even an assignment. It was like, how dare anyone not be fascinated enough to watch this kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It was a very big deal. And, in Mad Men, you know, they didn't, there was a lot of other things going on in the show aside from that, but they kind of kept coming back to that. Like, we have to make sure we're someplace where we can watch this, you know? Yeah. And, you know, everybody, you know, essentially got together and watched it. And, you know, there was a sense of, you know, common, you know, feeling of togetherness and love and, you know, and all this other stuff. And
it kind of reminds me of that lullaby or children's song, and my mother used to sing this to me before the moon landing too, is the I see the moon and the moon sees me, the moon sees somebody I want to see. Which is a pretty cool song, you know. It's yeah. Before there was instant communication like telegraph, telephone and internet and TV and radio, there was that. There was, you look up at the moon and you know that, you know, someone else you like on the same continent is probably, if not looking at it, at least able to see, you know, it's the only thing you can both see at the same time at night.
I still feel like that sometimes when I look up at the sky, I look at the stars and I think, you know, somebody, you know, they might see a slightly different sky than I see, but they're still looking at the same sky.
Yeah, I've definitely had at least one or two romantic moments in my life with a long distance love where we were talking on the telephone on opposite sides of the country, both looking at the moon and talking about it.
Yeah. That those are the timeless things that hopefully will never go away.
Yeah. Unless, you know, the Air Force decides they have to blow it up for our safety or something like that. Blow up the moon. You know, it kind of brings up to me just the idea of like culturally shared things, and I kind of feel like there's more things now to share. So it means less people are sharing each thing. And I don't want to sound like an old guy saying, I want to go back to where we all got excited about the big wars. But, you know, back in the day, it was like, you know, even in our childhood, it was, you know, national or international events that usually involved the state. Mm-hmm. And everybody knew about it, and they usually knew about it hours or days after it happened because news was, you know, not as immediate, and, you know, sometimes people weren't in front of the TV or didn't have one. I knew people that didn't have a TV when I grew up. It wasn't in every home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now it seems like now this is a positive takeaway of the increase of technology. And you said that what did you say about this with technology? Like, back then it was like this huge thing, and now
right. –
Now things happen with technology and it's
yeah, like with nowadays with huge technological advances. I mean, you might have groups that get really, really excited about them, like things like Bitcoin. You know, there are groups, you know, kind of our group or whatever you want to call us, this crypto anarcho type, you know, community. We get really excited about these things. But as a whole, you know, large technological advances don't seem to have that much of an impact.
Well, I really
on people
think,
in general.
I think part of that is the decentralization where science is not only the bailiwick of governments. And I think that's mm-hmm. a great thing.
Yeah, it is
and,
good.
And, you know, when I was a kid, like literally they, you know, they, when I was a kid, it was really the start of the kind of BS parenting of giving you too much self-esteem and not enough skills, parenting and schooling of like, you know, I was told things like America is the greatest country in the world because any boy can grow up to be president or an astronaut. Here's what people should be telling their kid now. If you work hard enough, you can invent the next Bitcoin.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, think about some of the most important things in my life technologically were invented by single individuals or small groups of individuals that had little or nothing to do with governments.
That's true.
You know, and it's kind of taking it back to how it was before World War II. Do you know the term big science?
No.
Well, it's a Laurie Anderson song, but it's also a term used by scientists and historians to describe science that occurred around World War II and since World War II, of scientific progress on giant large-scale projects funded by national governments or groups of governments. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was one of the things, like the moon launch was during the Vietnam War, and it really kind of made people hate the government less. And all of a sudden, like, oh, this couldn't have happened without governments. It could have happened without governments.
Yeah.
You know, it probably could have happened easier without governments.
Right. And I think that I either read this in the article or they mentioned it on the show that it was kind of a way to take people's minds off of this horrific involvement that we were in Vietnam, and you know, it's sort of almost as a distraction, you know, and I would imagine that some people can perhaps saw it as a conspiracy, which of course there was that whole thing where the moon landing was faked.
Yeah, I don't think it was faked, but you know, I think it's kind of ironic. There's a meme going around right now about the plaque they left on the moon that said that we come in peace, and it was like, you know, America was bombing the heck out of Southeast Asia at the time, and they go to a planet with no life on it and say, right, we come in peace. We'll be back with more after this.
You were destined to be listening to this show, Michael Dean After Dark, on this very night. Thank you for arriving.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
You're enjoying big science. Actually, you're enjoying small science with Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends and Diana Kyler. The laughing cat, and I'm the iron hamster.
Yeah.
So we're talking about big science and what's wrong with it. My problem with big science being science funded on, you know, millions or billions or trillions of dollars from government or governments is that it all ends up, basically these days, it all ends up being used for military weapons of spying and threats of destruction that are also mainly targeted against humanity, against the citizens of that country, you know?
Yeah.
It's just caca, cuckoo, nuts, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, what's going on with the NSA. It's just mind-blowing. We were going to go into this thing earlier about – I'll just mention this in passing. Glenn Greenwald – This is interesting. It says Greenwald's finale, naming victims of surveillance. He's going to come out with a list soon of everyone the government's actively spying on. Now, right. Why do they say it's his finale? Is he going to get droned after he does that? I mean, I can't see him stopping being a journalist.
No. I mean, well, he used to work for The Guardian.
Yeah.
And then, you know, because he was involved with the Edward Snowden leak, he wasn't fired. I guess he just left The Guardian. And he's going to be promoting a book, or he is promoting a book called No Place to Hide.
I heard that one of the leaks that they've only leaked like 10% of what he got from Snowden, and that one of the things that's yet to be leaked is a list of everyone who works for the federal government in any capacity.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah. That sounds very interesting. Or maybe WikiLeaks has that. I forget. But that's been announced as to come. But I can't wait to see when is this going to come out, the list of all the Americans, including the freedom fiends, that are being watched actively?
He doesn't give a date.
Huh. Maybe it's buy my book. Buy my book, and I'll tell you. Yeah. So big science leads to that kind of stuff. And you know, small science, which is everything that came before World War II, pretty much, a lot of things have been done by individuals. And we're kind of getting back there now with internet stuff. Like, literally, you know, Satoshi, one guy made Bitcoin.
One guy.
Vastly changed the world. You know, one guy made Napster and opened up the floodgates of file sharing and basically destroyed the concept of intellectual property. It still exists, but it's unenforceable. Mm-hmm. And BitTorrent took it even further and made it distributed, so there's no central server to be shut down. And you know, something like 40% of the traffic on the internet these days is BitTorrent traffic.
40%?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea it was that high.
Yep. And if you want to share the Freedom Fiends on BitTorrent, you can go to thefreedomfiends.com and click on the link that says Torrent Club. It has a picture of the torrent symbol with a little halo over it, because you are angelic in my mind if you're torrenting, and Diana is torrenting. How's that going, by the way?
Yes, it's going fantastic. I have to turn it off whenever I do this. But.
Well, you know, you can set up the because you don't do the same day every time. I have it set up to there's a scheduler in uTorrent, and I have it set up to not torrent when I'm doing a show. But I do this.
Okay.
I have a set schedule. You don't.
Yeah.
I did go through and schedule 6 days a week of Fiends co-hosts for the next 3 months today, and I feel pretty good about that. That was a major act of gentleman science, of small science, of cat herding to make
I know.
Happen.
I was impressed. I was very impressed with that. Yeah. And the fact that you called me twice and I was sleeping.
Yeah. You were the last person I got a hold of. So you got the remainders. You got the leftovers. You didn't have any choice.
Dregs.
You got the dregs. But I did get Jack to switch with you so you could do your birthday.
I saw that. That was so nice of him.
There was somebody else that didn't want to be – somebody else who was like, well, I can't do that day. It's my birthday. And I said, really? You don't want to be on radio on your birthday? I guess it was someone who like had a life and, you know, friends or something. Not saying you don't, but I like that you would rather be on the radio than anywhere else.
Yeah, it's only 2 hours.
Yep. We'll be back with hour two of
You're
immortality.
Michael Dean After Dark. Go to michaelwdean.com. That's michaelwdean.com.
Good evening, my fellow
worms. I know some things.
I'll be back with more later on.
I'm never satisfied.
This is Michael Dean After Dark.
The stato sperimentato.
We have enough
on
the scene.
The United States government presents
no vision. Congrats.
Not having enough money.
The power was so great.
Esto por su parte considera
to provide guidance to mankind.
Go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark.
Bye for now.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, this is some Squiskar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Kitty girls and kitty boys.
Kitties.
Ready for some rock, Diana?
Oh, yeah. Right. Always.
So the topic tonight, I guess, is mortality. Mortality. And basically, you know, not in a negative way, but in the idea of like leaving a positive something behind in your life that you can, you know, like I don't need a tombstone. I'm not going to be... I have it in my will that I'm going to be cremated and my wife gets my ashes. Mm-hmm. And if she and I both die at the same time, Nima gets our ashes. And we don't, I don't want parties. I don't want, you know, this. I'm not planning anything. I just want to say that. I'm just, I turned 50 and almost got killed by lightning. So I'm thinking, yeah, I'm going to live to be 100. But I wrote this song 4 years ago. I'm going to play this short song, 2.5 minutes long. It's pretty rocking. I played everything on it. I wrote it. It's called Single Cracklin' Blue Flash, and it's by my one-man band, Right Arm of Wyoming. And it's me picturing what would go through my head as a government goon's bullet goes through my head and kills me. And I'm going to read the lyrics because it goes by pretty fast. It's kind of hard to understand, but the lyrics are, all my dreams and all my schemes, any chance to use my things, all the moments with my wife, all the cats I've had in life, gone from me in an instant. All my family, all my friends, all my data, the sky will end in an instant. All my skills and all my bills, autumn trees crackle, barren, stunning sunsets, stolen kisses, hits and misses, love and fame, all my books and all my notes and all the junk I ever wrote. Doesn't matter. I carry on. I'm too alive not to, even after my heart stops beating. Everyone gone in a single, everything gone in a single crackling blue flash. It's all gone, but I carry on. You'll carry on. We'll carry on.
Yeah.
Here, I'm going to play the song now.
Yeah.
Love my books and all my notes. it's all gone, but I carry on. But I carry on. But I carry on. But we'll carry on. We'll carry on.
That was awesome.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I'll cut it into the episode so it's not played over the microphone, because it'll sound even better, because I just had it up in front of my little treble speakers, which doesn't pick up the bass at all. But yeah. Yeah, man. It's poignant. It's poetic. It's poetic.
So you said, okay, so I know you wrote that. Like, who was doing all the instruments and stuff?
Me. I don't play drums. It's drum loops that I manipulated to sound like someone playing drums. It's loops of actual drums that I programmed to sound, mm-hmm. to play that beat. And then I played bass and guitar over it and then sang over it. I did that one really quick.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to send everyone to bed happy when we finally get there tonight. I'm not on a downer trip. I'm thinking in positive ways about, you know, I am invariably at least halfway through my life, if not a lot further. I don't know though. My dad is 94 years old. So,
wow.
You know, and my mother died of cancer at 75. So, you know, depends which side wins in the gene war. And if mm-hmm. I don't, in fact, get shot by a government goon at some point for no good reason, you know, I'd love to live to 100. I don't know, though. I don't know if I'd want to be, like, cranky and sick. And I don't know. My dad has pretty good quality of life for his age.
Mm-hmm. Does he live alone?
Yeah, he lives alone. He has a maid that comes, a cleaning lady that comes by a couple times a week.
Mm-hmm. And does he drive?
And he has a like nurse that comes by a couple times a week to check on him. Mm-hmm. He actually had his driver's license taken away for doing something weird while driving. Like, basically, there's that argument of like, are people, old people shouldn't have driver's license, but you know, he did something that didn't endanger anybody, but seemed like it could have, and the government took his license away, although he's getting it back. He's having to take classes to get it back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But he was alive in the Great Depression, man. He was alive when, like, you know, TV didn't exist. Most people didn't have telephones. Most of America was agricultural, and you could mail order a machine gun from Sears.
You could mail order anything from Sears back then.
He used to buy dynamite at the store at the county. Seriously, he used it for blowing tree stumps out of fields when he was clearing them as a farmer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Those were the days. Huh?
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that, but heck, I like the machine guns from Sears though.
That's you could buy houses from Sears.
Really?
You could buy house, like actual kits, and have somebody build it for you.
You could still buy pre-built houses. There's a a place called Menards in town. It's in the western states. They have it's like a bigger than Walmart hardware store chain. Like each mm-hmm. one is bigger than a Walmart. They are
wow
ginormous. And the one here, for about a year after we moved here, I don't know how long they had it before that, but they had a prefab house sitting in the parking lot that was for sale for like $48,000. And it was, you know, pretty, it was a one room house. You could build rooms in it, but it was like one giant room. I mean, a couple could easily live in this, and, you know, a family of four could, you know, be cozy and live in this. And
how big is it?
It's hard for me to gauge measurement.
Yeah.
But it was probably, well, put it this way, like, you know, an average size bedroom, like not average, like, I don't know, like it you could divide it easily into like four bedrooms, you know, four like 120 square foot bedrooms and probably a kitchen area.
Oh, wow.
But somebody bought it. And they had to move it on a big flatbed truck. And they literally had to, like, take down power wires to get it down the street.
Oh my God.
You know, like it was a big deal. They did it at like 4 a.m. You know, the police came, the power company came, you know, the police blocked traffic, and the power company like turned off the power and disconnected power lines so they could move them, you know, for 5 minutes to get this thing under it and then restore power. And they like, it said that in the paper and on the radio and on TV, like, in this section of town tonight between, you know, 4 and 5 a.m. your power may go out for 5 minutes because they're moving this house. Someone bought it. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
What about those little tiny houses? Have you seen those?
You mean like the garden shed size houses?
Well, yeah, basically, yeah, like 50 square foot houses.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah.
You know, I have a garden. We have a garden shed in our backyard where we keep tools and stuff for gardening. And literally, it's the size. I mean, someone could live in it. If they could live in one of those little houses, they could live in this. There's a big movement of people, you know, kind of almost a political or socio-political movement of providing those free or cheap for people so they're not homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm fine if that's done without government money. I think it's a great idea. And, you know, you really don't need much room to not be homeless. I mean, you could do it in a chicken coop.
Yep.
But then it gets into all sorts of probably all sorts of regulatory issues in a lot of places.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. My I have an aunt that's from Hawaii, and she lives in Hawaii, and she and her husband actually built a couple of cabins up in the mountains of North Carolina. And one of the cabins they built had an outdoor kitchen. And, but then all of a sudden the city or not the city, but the town or the county or whatever showed up and, you know, and they're all like, you know, you're not up to code with this and that and the other thing. And he's like, dude, I'm just camping up here, you know, but because apparently because it was a permanent structure, he had to, there was some roofing issues and some electricity issues and yada, yada, yada. But I mean, this place is absolutely stunningly beautiful. Like, I mean, I don't know if I could live there. I feel like I'm kind of a city girl, but I mean, definitely could spend quite a bit of time there. It's beautiful.
Last time I was in New Hampshire was when I was about 17 and I was staying with my sister and her boyfriend at the time. They had some land out in the sticks. And they had a chicken coop they'd built, but they hadn't used it for chickens yet. And I slept in it because I wanted to kind of have the camping experience. And I woke up to a porcupine chewing on it and had to like shoo him away with a piece of wood gently.
Gently.
I ended up with a bunch of porcupine quills in the piece of wood. We'll be back.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, the invigorating alternative to those other late night shows.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com. When the morning comes, I will not raise my head. When the morning comes, I will not raise my head. If I die before I wake, I pray someone my soul to take. That's the lyrics to that song. Man, I used to be really dark. I'm not so dark anymore. I can talk about mortality and not get all creepy.
Yeah, it's inevitable.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Yeah, I don't really know if I believe in an afterlife. So, you know, I figure I have to do it the best I can the first time around. I don't know. I don't know what I believe. You're a Christian, right?
Yeah.
But do you have a belief of an afterlife?
I have a hope for an afterlife. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. I got told recently that I'm not a Christian because I don't believe
in heaven.
It's not that I don't believe in heaven. It's that I just don't necessarily embrace blindly everything that's like fed to me by the Christian faith. You know, I have a lot of questions. I have a lot of doubts, you know, And, you know, but I still think of myself as a Christian. That's still the path that I try to follow. And
Ben Stone's a Quaker, but he's a bad Quaker. He's by his own admission.
Yeah, like, I guess I'm a bad Christian.
A bad Christian. Yeah. I really never believe the idea of reincarnation, but I gotta say that from a scientific standpoint, it would seem to make the most sense of anything in a Newtonian, you know, energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only take a different form kind of thought.
I've actually been reading a lot about reincarnation lately.
In your yoga books?
Well, we don't talk about it that much in yoga, even though it is definitely part of that. But I've been reading a book called Awakening the Buddha Within. And that talks a lot, obviously, about reincarnation. And it does, it kind of does make sense, you know, and I'm not discounting that at all. I mean, I don't know what will happen. I do believe that our consciousness lives on. I just don't know in what way.
Well, that was kind of the point of some of the lines in that song I just played of, you know, doesn't matter, I carry on, I'm too alive not to, even after my heart stops beating.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like, since I don't know, I'm living my life as if I only get one go round and trying to, I guess, do the best I can. And for me, that means leaving enough good media to live on after I'm not here.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that for me, even as a Christian, I don't believe that we should live our life in hopes that we'll make it to heaven or something like that. I mean, to me, that's not living. It's basically living toward an end
I always thought that the idea of your riches are in heaven, not here on earth. I don't know that it was necessarily something made up by rich land barons to control the peasants, but it sure would have that effect, you know, of, well, you're miserable and we're taking all your labor, but hey, you'll get something later.
You know, men and most likely women too in the church used scripture like that to subvert, you know, the peasants and stuff like that to keep them in line.
Yeah, so, back then the church was basically the state, and the church is no longer the state to the point where the state in America and other countries is kind of trying to co-opt the church. You know, there are things that government agencies send out to pastors and priests and rabbis and imams now to try to get them. I mean, one of the things was trying to get them to convince their flocks to embrace Obamacare as the proper Christian or proper Jewish or proper Muslim thing to do. You know, it's I don't get why people don't understand that coerced charity through theft is not charity at all.
Right, exactly.
But a lot of people are really stupid about that and really easy to convince, man.
Yeah, and I don't understand that either. You know, it's never made sense to me that people are given a hard time for not wanting to pay your taxes. What, you don't want to help poor people? What's wrong with you? You know, it's like, yeah, I want to help poor people, but I want to do it, you know, according to my own means and what I want to do, and, you know, not be coerced to do it. Because like you said, I mean, coerced charity is not charity by any stretch.
So back to big science and small science. We were talking before about my complaint about big science is, first of all, it all ends up in the military-industrial complex. I was really excited about the space flight when I was a kid, about watching man walk on the moon. And, you know, they did say, like, yeah, we get all these great spinoffs in technology that help everybody, and we also get to strengthen the military. And it's like, that sounded like a good thing when I was a kid because I didn't know otherwise. And really, it just led to drones, you know, over our heads spying on us all the time.
Yeah.
And all our phones tapped and all our emails tapped.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and yes, we're broadcasting this message into space. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else.
HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. And if you don't love America, become a digital citizen of Estonia. Get out. Move to Estonia. Email yourself to Estonia. So I want to sidetrack our mortality conversation here a little bit for this article on ZDNet.
Yeah.
About in the near future, those from outside the country will have an opportunity to apply for an Estonian e-resident ID card, which means they can use Estonian online services, open bank accounts, and start companies without ever having physically visited Estonia. That is awesome and huge.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not a fan of any states, and I'm not a fan of, you know, I'm a citizen of blah, blah, blah. But I've always said that, you know, my minarchist answer for it is that changing your nationality should be as easy as changing your phone company. And it sounds like Estonia has done this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can do that and not necessarily give up your U.S. Citizenship.
I just wonder what ramifications it would have for U.S. citizens doing this. Like, you know, if you get a knock at your door from the State Department accusing you of renouncing your U.S. citizenship or something.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it would be more about whether you're still paying your taxes or not.
Yeah, and I wonder if you'd have to suddenly pay taxes in Estonia also, even if you weren't doing business there.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I kind of think it's a publicity stunt more than anything, but it's a pretty cool one.
Yeah, I think it probably, as long as you don't have a business, and because, you know, most countries are not like the U.S. Most countries are not going to, you know, come after you for earning money someplace else.
There are only like two countries, and the U.S. is one of them. I can't recall the other one, but there's only two countries that make people with dual citizenship file taxes if they're not making an income in America still.
Right. So you could have an Estonian citizenship and earn money someplace else, and they're not going to come after you for taxes for that.
I think Estonia would be cool about it. I don't know if the U.S. would be cool about it.
No. What is the U.S. cool about? Nothing.
Obesity and incarcerating more citizens per capita than any other country except probably North Korea.
There you go. Yeah, they are cool about that. They seem to be cool about that.
We're number two. We're just behind North Korea in our number of incarcerated citizens.
Right on. And we're like, I don't know, 30th in press freedom or something like that.
Yeah, that's a weird metric though, because it's kind of skewed by the Freedom Fiends and Free Talk Live. It's kind of skewed too by like Rush Limbaugh and people like that too. Radio kind of skews that. And I really think that's a window that the next tyrannical president is going to close. But the stuff we're doing on radio in a lot of countries would get you in legal trouble. But more so than that, it just would not be possible in most countries. Like this would probably be technically legal in Germany or Switzerland, but no commercial radio station would let you do it in those countries.
Well, what's interesting to me is that it seems like other countries allow art that criticizes the government. I mean, I've seen I was shown a French video yesterday where, you know, basically this woman is, you know, killing soldiers and stuff like that. And, you know, art seems to be okay if it's critical of the government.
Well, do you mean allow it or finance it?
Oh, well, allow it, not finance it, of course.
The government allows that art here.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, I'm not saying that they don't. I'm just saying that other countries, they they don't allow the press necessarily to be terribly critical, but they allow art to be very critical.
Europe really loves its art and it loves its artists. I remember hearing when I was 11 or 12 that some European country, I think it was Switzerland, used to basically I don't think they do this anymore, but it's basically if you're an artist, you get to go on artist welfare. You know, it's not the same as being on the dole. It's mm-hmm. like if you're an artist, you can just apply to be paid a stipend to be an artist. And it was when I was a kid, it was widespread. You know, it wasn't like here where, you know, the National Endowment for the Arts picks, you know, 20 people a year or something. It's like it was something young people would do. They would graduate school. You know, graduate high school, go to a couple years of college, probably go to a year of the military in there, and then get out and get to do 5 or 10 years being paid to be an artist. And Europe has a lot more pride in artists than America in general, I think. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of Americans, and, you know, I'm not bashing America, and I don't think there's anything wonderful about a government stealing tax money and giving it to artists. I think that's tyrannical. But, mm-hmm. you know, it shows where their priorities are, in a way, where they spend less on the military and more on art. You know, I think the average American parent, you know, I don't know if there's a such thing as average, but I think a lot of American parents, if their kid tells them, I'm going to be an artist when I grow up, I mean, a lot of them are like, oh, that's sweet. And, you know, if they're really young, but, you know, when you're 16, if you say, yeah, I'm going to be an artist when I get out, when I finish school and I'm not going to college, I think a lot of American parents would worry. And I think in Europe, not so much.
Yeah. Yeah, I got that when I was a kid. Like, I, you know, there were all these like kind of artsy fartsy things I wanted to do and was strongly discouraged by my parents.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was not discouraged, but, you know, there was always the question of how are you going to make a living? And mm-hmm. Then, you know, my band got signed to Warner Brothers and it looked like I was going to make a living for a while at it. It didn't turn out that way, but, and then it was, you know, why don't you sing pretty songs? You have so much talent. Why don't you sing pretty songs? And, you know, my brother asked me that, you know, and my mother asked me that from like, those songs you sing are so dark. It's bad for your mind or your heart, you know? But my brother asked me that. And he was just speaking economically. He's like, you know, you'd probably make more money if you sang upbeat songs. And I said, you know, he works for a living as a mechanic on he basically rebuilds classic British cars for people, you know, mm-hmm. like really nice, you know, MG. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get it wrong yeah. and say something that's actually Italian, but you know, yeah, MGs and Aston Martins, yeah. And you know, he makes okay money at it, but it's more of a labor love than anything. And I said, yeah. you know, because he works for like 9 months on one car kind of thing, and I said to him, you know, you'd make a lot more money working on Fords. And he instantly got it and never brought it up again. Good. Yeah. Like he got it. Like the labor of love thing. He got it.
Yeah. So we were talking a little while ago about what would we say to our young selves?
Yeah, man. What would you say to your young self?
Well, I was reading what you would say to your young self.
What would I say to me at 19?
Well, you were actually talking to yourself at 22.
Okay.
Yeah. And, one of the things that you said that struck me, and it is probably
I make so much art, I can't remember what I made.
One of the things, obviously, one of the things you said was just kind of like, I don't know what I would tell you to do differently. And
well, because he wouldn't listen. The young man wouldn't listen. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I think too. Like, I don't know what, cause I've often thought, you know, what, cause I was terrible. I was like the worst teenager, rebellious, like just evil, like, not evil, but you know, just like, I think my mom actually at one point thought I was possessed by a demon or something. I don't know, seriously. And I don't know what she could have done differently. I really don't. Like I had to go through what I had to go through. And when I was 19 years old, yeah, I wouldn't have listened to some, you know, 48-year-old woman coming and saying, you know, look, it's going to all be okay. You know, you just need to like relax and, you know, and one day you will be happy. And I'd be like, yeah, like look at my life now. It sucks. You know, how is this going to get any better? And, but, you know, I think about the young me like that. And I think, you know, I was sad and I was lost. And I, you know, essentially what I think everybody looks for is love. And that's what I was looking for was love. And of course I was, you know, looking for it in all the wrong places, but, you know, I wanted someone to love and accept me for who I was. And as it turns out, the person that I needed that more from than anything was myself. And it just took a long, long time to get there. And I'm still working on that.
Yeah. So. And now you're in a good relationship with a good person, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you can't have that until you love yourself. And that sounds really cheesy. And
it's true, though.
And the reason I didn't buy that for a long time was because the people who presented that to me seemed really lightweight, I guess is the mm-hmm. word, you know, kind of hippie yeah. in a bad way instead of hippie yeah. in a good way. I will say this. Somebody, when I was young, this older hippie woman told me something that was really mind-blowing to me. And it kind of, it was probably the first libertarian thing I heard, and without her even knowing it. I think I know she was a liberal. And, but she said that the only sin, you know, not talking about like murder or theft or anything, but like the only unforgivable thing you can do in life is to stop somebody else from doing something they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I take it she didn't mean stop someone from killing someone else. You know, she meant like mm-hmm. stopping someone from pursuing a dream, you know, getting in their way. And
yeah,
I really think that's true. And not just from a, you know, not just getting in the way of their dreams, but getting in the way of anything that doesn't hurt somebody else. You know, if you have to let people make mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you can tell them whatever you want to do, but I think that a lot of people go out of their way to try to stop people from doing what they want to do. And the funny thing is, you know, this woman was active in politics, in Democrat, liberal, San Francisco, California politics, you know, trying to get the government to basically stop people from doing things they want to do. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, I guess in her day-to-day life, she kept to that credo, but that's another thing too. It's kind of like the, you know, people outsourcing their violence to others and they don't see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right.
It's disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back for the redemption in the third act after this trip to the capitalist market that we love so much on the Freedom Fiends. Worms.
Worms!
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm speaking directly to you. Yes, you.
This is the Central Scrutinizer.
I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to
torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, suffering for your entertainment since 2011. My back's hurting again. Doing these
oh,
shows.
No.
That's okay. It's I do it for you, Diana, and for everyone listening. And if you want to donate to my cranky old back, you can go to freedomfiends.com. Haven't been getting a lot of donations lately, but, you know, hey, we got some advertisers, so it's all good. And we would like more donations, but mainly, the main thing you can do, we like this better than money, is for you to go torrent the Freedom Fiends RSS feed, the special RSS feed for the Fiends torrents, and keep your computer running 24/7 forever. to keep us drone proof. And you can go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link that says Torrent Club. So the topic today that we're wrapping up now with Diana and I has been immortality, not to be confused with immorality, which is what governments do. And I'm going to use this picture that you sent me. I'm going to make some title. I don't know what it is yet, but it's going to be something about, like, you know, will your words live on when you're gone, which is going to be kind of scary with this picture you sent me, which was not your intent. It's a V for Vendetta mask hanging on a microphone. And to me, it looks like the person using the microphone is gone and this mask remains. And that mask did inspire me to think more about the idea of open sourcing the fiends yet, which I'm not really ready to do yet and just say, hey, anybody could be a fiend, although I couldn't really stop them if they did. I wouldn't sue them. I would just make fun of them and say, they're not the real fiends. We are. And they wouldn't be as good as us, and they wouldn't have me, and they wouldn't have Diana, and they wouldn't have the other 9 co-hosts we have.
That's right.
And they wouldn't have the history of Nima Vidati. And who knows, he may come in and do a cameo once in a while. Maybe.
That would be nice.
Talking to it. Yeah. But, you know, another way that you can be immortal and have your words and deeds live on is not just torrenting the fiends, but you know, there's basically 3 ways you can do it. You can make media that lives on. You can put ideas out there that live on. You can have kids. I had a kid, she died of cancer, and I'm not going to have any more kids. And the other way is teaching people skills you have. And I'm really big on that, to the point where, you know, recently, there's a lot of new libertarian podcasts coming out, and it's pretty amazing to me. I'm really psyched by it. And I've been trying to get everyone I can get to do this to buy one of these microphones, one of these $60 USB Audio Technica. It's the Audio Technica 2005 USB microphone. You can go to freedomfiends.com, and there's a link on the sidebar of where to get it. And you can pretty much do a show with it. That's all you need. That and a little bit of that and some ideas and something to say. But there are so many podcasts coming out, and so, you know, I check every one of them out, and so many of them just don't sound good. And, you know, some of them don't sound good, and they don't really sound compelling either, or they sound good and they're not very compelling. But there was one called Rebel Love Show that I heard, and it sounded really pretty horrible, but it was great content. So I actually, like, went out of my way to find these guys. I emailed them and said, hey, it's Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Can I give you some free audio tips? Give me your phone number. And the guy's like, absolutely. And he sent me his phone number. And I spent about 2 hours one day on the phone with him, telling him what to do different with his equipment and having him send me MP3s of short samples of him recording on the spot until it sounded great. And the next cast he did sounded great. And every cast he's done since then sounded great. And I'm trying to do that. I can't do that for everybody, but I have a lot of blog posts out there. I have creamyradioaudio.com, which has a lot of tips on equipment and doing a radio show. And I'm doing a couple of speaking gigs at Porkfest after my movies. And I'm just trying to, and I'm doing, you know, I mean, I didn't know what to do when Nima said that he was quitting the show. And it was like the next day, I was just like, okay, I'm just going to have 10 co-hosts. And it's working out. It's kind of open source now. And I think that most of you will eventually be able to go and start your own shows with other co-hosts. And that'll be a good thing. I'm really psyched about that. I want to be replaceable. You know, you can never replace Michael Dean, but you can take my thoughts and deeds and skills and open source them to the community and mix them with your own labor and do good things with them, because I know a lot of stuff and I want to pass it on.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your service, Diana.
Yeah. My pleasure.
Meow.
Meow.
Worms.
Meow.
Worms, y'all.
Worms, y'all. Looking forward to meeting you at Porkfest.
You too. DJ too.
Yes. We're all going to meet all of our imaginary friends from the internet. It'll be cool.
Woo!
All right. Episode 401 is finishing now.
This has been Michael Dean After Dark. I hope we've helped calm the hamster in your brain and left you in a better place than where we found you. We'll be here 5 nights a week, same time and channel. In the meantime, go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. Thank you and have a wonderful evening. Good night.